Welcome to Bible Curious Podcast. I'm your host, Amberly Lyons. Today's episode is about so many things. We're talking about astrology. We're talking about living our will. We're talking about the second coming. We're talking about faith. It's a hodgepodge, but it all makes sense. I'm going to give you some backstory on why we're recording these topics today. So I actually recorded an a few days ago, and it was a great interview. I was excited to share it. And we were like getting off the call, and I was like, thanks. And he left. And then I went to go end the recording. Turns out I never recorded it. So I was freaking out, and I'm texting all my friends who have podcasts. And I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? I haven't told them yet, by the way. So I just need to tell them, which I will. But anyways, I just had to settle down because I felt bad. Like, this guy gave his time and his energy and gave really good tips. I kind of used it as my own personal counseling session and asked him so many questions about my own identity journey and like where I'm at and all these things. But yeah, I mean, God has a plan. And then I was going to take the week off of podcasting, but I woke up this morning and God was like, nope, you're going to do a podcast. And I was like, okay, on what? And he just started listing these things. I literally had to get my phone out and start typing because all these things started coming to my mind that seemingly made no sense together. So I'm going to read you guys the list. So it was identity, beauty, wonderment, new age leading the way, a second coming, trusting the process, allowing time to pass, redemption, thinking you're crazy, seeing things in a different way, and that being a gift, opening your heart to Jesus, softening into grace and gentleness. God wants us to have joy. So that I was like, okay, I'm going to kind of make this like a Q&A or kind of like, I don't know, just like random topics and just blurting them out. But then when I sat down to kind of structure and script the podcast, I wanted to first address the full moon because I've had so many friends and I've just seen so much on Instagram about this crazy full moon, blah, blah. And like the moon in the sky has been wild. Like I have just been in awe of God's creation, which is the moon, and just wow, like it looks beautiful and wondrous in the sky. But when I posted on Instagram and let you guys know about the podcast not recording, I had some people message me and be like, oh, this full moon is crazy. And I've had so many people say that, like this full moon energy is crazy. And I was a little conflicted because obviously astrology, we're not really supposed to be, you know, going down that path. It's like you kind of need to pick, are you Christ? Are you astrology? The Bible specifically calls it out and says that we shouldn't be doing astrology. And like a lot of my friends who are in faith, some of them are like, no, you can still do astrology. I'm like, but have you read the Bible? I personally have conviction around it. So I was like, okay, I'm actually going to deep dive this. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to start the podcast with a little bit of that. And then as I started that, it was like everything that I wanted to share, it's like I kept having these ideas come to my mind. And like the sequence of those random notes that God told me that I would needed to talk about today, it all flowed together to make sense. And it is just blowing my mind. I kept being like, of course, this is all making sense. And it all ties in a bow at the end. So I don't know. I thought this was very insane and wild. And, you know, yeah, like he's real, guys. He's real. Okay. So anyways, there's this crazy full moon. Supposedly there's like eclipses, etc. I haven't looked that much into what they mean because that's just not really the vibe for me. But, you know, it's undeniable that the moon has had an effect on me. And I know that other people are feeling the same. Even believers, they're like, it's been really wild. I don't know what's going on. So my thoughts on astrology are that, yes, God created the moon, but I believe that the energy of the moon has like in a way been hijacked. So there are like principalities that heighten the like our emotions, and this darkness perpetuates when the light of the moon shines. And the moon is really like what God was kind of telling me, like the moon is a reflection of the darkness that is on earth being shown back to us. So for many, the full moon is kind of this, I don't know, almost like this reminder of the spiritual realm and why it kind of shows us what we need to heal. And it can be, yeah, like a time to like reflect on our emotions, blah, 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 because these things are coming up. But I don't know about you. I don't want to be tied to that. I don't want to be connected, or I just don't want to give any authority to the moon is what I'm trying to say. I want all of the authority to come from God. But Ephesians 6:12 says, I love this verse, by the way. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, which to me means that could be the moon. And it's saying against the cosmic powers. So we were never meant to sync up with the moon. Like, that is actually a pagan belief. So Romans 1:25 says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So what they're saying in that verse is that God created it, but that doesn't mean we are meant to worship it. We're just meant to worship God. And so what we need to do, and I feel like I've done this, but I still, it's like I get pulled back into it, is really just like repenting and renouncing this like sync up with the moon. So like asking God to cut ties with these old practices. So you can say, for example, like, Lord, I come before you acknowledging my past involvement in practices that sought spiritual power or guidance from the moon or from the cosmos, you know, astrology or other sources apart from you. I repent of these actions and I renounce any influence or hold these practices may have on me. I ask you to cleanse me, heal me, and remove any spiritual ties that were formed. I place my trust in you alone, Lord, as my guide and source of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I say that prayer for you guys. And then we also need to rebuke the spiritual influencers or demons that are attached to us now. We can say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke any spirits or dark forces that may be affecting me through past involvement in moon rituals, astrology, any form of pagan practices or occult practices. I command you to leave me and my life completely. I declare that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus and no power of darkness has authority over me, my body, my mind, my emotions. They all belong to God. So really just asking God to take over the situation, handing it back over to him and replacing any of like those fears or, I don't know, like I don't want to say that I feel like shame over it, but I'm like, oh shoot, like what did I let myself get into here? But rather than letting yourself have those fears, it's like, no, God, we've been given the authority through God. We can take that authority back and give it back to God. So I also realized the irony that I have astrology jewelry in Prism. I'm dealing with it. Don't worry. I have a business partner, so it's a little bit more complicated. But if you guys are thinking that I'm like a big fat hypocrite over here, just know that me and God are working on it and it's fine. So all of this kind of brought me, I've been going down a bit of a rabbit hole of, I don't even know if I'm going to say it right, but Gnosticism and also a little bit about the Lost Gospel. So I actually took a photo of this book that I have, which I have right in front of me now, the Book of Enoch for Beginners, which I got from Amazon, handy dandy. And I don't know, me and my friend Allie Levine, who I've had on the podcast, I've been on hers. If you haven't listened to those episodes, go listen. We were kind of just like deep diving all of these ideas. Like we were like, do we think the Bible's been tampered with? And we know that it has. We know that books have been removed and that the Catholic Church has said that it's because they are not credible or there's no actual like proof of them. But there were also some that were removed because they just didn't go along with the teachings of the religion of Christianity, Catholicism. So I'm like, that doesn't mean that they're not real or not true. Like, why does it have to fit into a box. I know people are going to be like, no, don't read those. They took them out. God also says not to take out or put anything in the Bible. Okay? He says that. So I've always just thought that was a little weird. So Gnosticism is different. So this is kind of like a view that the material world, including the cosmos, are flawed and corrupt and created by lesser beings. So like that it wasn't actually God that created these things. I don't believe that personally, but there's also just a bunch of other beliefs tied up in Gnosticism. So if there was a certain book that had any of those beliefs, then it was removed, is my understanding. That's my understanding of what happened. And I will say part that of Gnosticism where it says that there's inherent badness or flawedness or corruptness in the material worlds, I kind of agree with, but I don't believe that God created it that way. I believe that the fall made it that way. So that I'm a little conflicted there. Again, I'm still learning. I just don't know. I haven't researched it enough to like fully know, but this is like something that I'm in the middle of researching. So there are many books that were taken out. So the books that were taken out were not only taken out because of Gnosticism, but I just thought that that was interesting. The Book of Enoch, there's also like a Book of Mary Magdalene, which I've been called, like, God is showing me in dreams. I need to read that too, or at least get an understanding of it right now. But I have not fully wrapped my head around the Book of Enoch yet. But for those of you that know, my testimony is that I was actually visited in a dream. This is when I was not like I had not completely dedicated my life to Christ. I was kind of dabbling and still dabbling in New Age. And I was visited in my dream by angels sent from Enoch. And they shared the story of Moses with me, shared so much information with me that I would have known. Like I never knew this information, but then when I looked it up in the Bible, it was true. And I was like, oh my goodness. Even the name Enoch, I had no idea. See, I'm saying Enoch or Enoch. Here's the thing. I got to describe this, explain this. In the dream, they told me Enoch. But I have friends who are Mormon or were Mormon, and they say that they actually learn a lot about him in Mormonism, which personally, I think Mormonism is a little occult and there is a lot of darkness to it, but they learn about him and as in the name Enoch, like his name to them is Enoch. That's how they pronounce it. So I don't know. So I kind of like go back and forth, but I mean to say Enoch when I say it, but sometimes I catch myself saying Enoch because that's the way they say it. Anyways, so in the Book of Enoch, God has control over the moon and the sun and the stars as his. And their only purpose is just to create order, but they're not meant to affect human lives. So one of the key themes in the Book of Enoch is the story of the Watchers, who are fallen angels who descended to earth, took human wives, and taught humanity this forbidden knowledge, which is, you know, basically eating the apple that we're not supposed to eat. So this is, yeah, there's a book called The Book of the Watchers, which is chapters 1 to 36 in the Book of Enoch, I think is the way it works. But one of the sections within one Enoch, because there's a few different books of Enoch, I think. Enoch. Sorry. The teaching. So yeah, so basically these fallen angels taught sorcery, magic, and divination, but they were like evil spirits teaching it. So I think that in this fallen world, that the Watchers have kind of taken control a little bit of government, politics, like education, health. Like I think this is why these books were taken out of the Bible and even in the Catholic Church. So I think that the Watchers are in charge of the Catholic Church personally. So I believe that this is why these books were taken out of the Bible. I know people are going to come for me for saying that, but this is what I believe. So the Book of Enoch kind of shows astrology as being part of this forbidden knowledge taught to humans by these fallen angels. And that is going to lead to, it's like they want us to be like following astrology and divination and all this stuff, so that when the judgment comes, we are on the wrong side of history. And so it's really like portraying these practices that are like contributing to the fall of mankind. So it's kind of creepy. Like, there have never been more people doing astrology, divination, sorcery, magic, all these things. And the world has never been crazier. I mean, people will say correlation, not causation. But I'm just saying, like, to me, that's weird. Throwing it out there. So yeah, basically, like, Book of Enoch is saying, don't do astrology. Don't do this sorcery, blah, blah, blah. Because I was kind of like, so let me backpedal a little bit here. When I wanted to like read some almost like proof or argument. I wanted to hear the argument as to why astrology is okay. Like, I was like you can't deny the effects. But so I was like, I'm going to find somewhere. I was like, maybe it's in the Lost Gospel. Because a lot of people that are in the New Age, or they're dabbling in both, they'll say, oh, well, you know, I think that they took all of that information out of the Bible and made it bad, because the darkness doesn't want us to know these like amazing powers that we actually hold, because then we'll be more powerful than them. But it's actually the opposite. It's the darkness teaching us these practices. And that feels real to me. The other thing that, like, the other reason that astrology is not for me anymore is that, this is like the first point that God wanted me to talk about today, was identity. If we are giving our identity to our star sign, we're giving our authority to the dark force that is handling that planet or that astrology sign or whatever. So we need to really understand what our true identity is. And that is that we are God's workers. We are like fulfilling the kingdom of earth prophecy, you know, bringing God's kingdom to earth. We are bringing his love and justice and righteousness into everyday life. And it's not about ruling as spiritual powers. It's about serving and loving and living in a way that glorifies God. So in Matthew 20:28, Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he came here and, you know, was the ultimate servant. And now we are servants as well. Like, he said, so I, again, God was just giving me messages as I was writing this. And he said, principalities on foot. So basically, like, we're not principalities, because principalities are spiritual beings, but we are like the human manifestation of what the, so like principalities can be positive or negative. Like, there can be dark angels, there can be light angels. So we need to see ourselves as that. It's like humans are basically the human version of those spiritual beings, were these principalities, but human form, like on foot. So, you know, it's kind of like we're the foot soldiers. Like, we're here to bring that light to the earth. So I notice I'm like breathing really heavy. I hope it's not annoying to you guys. You know what it is? My throat is really dry. I'm going to go get some water, because this is crazy.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so we are these foot soldiers here to bring God's love and light and justice to earth. But there are watchers, these fallen angels, living among us. And we just need to outnumber them. Like, what it is. So Colossians 1:16 says, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or denominations or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So, I mean, he created these dark ones too. This is where I get a little confused. I think it's like these dark principalities have multiplied, but the light principalities are multiplying more quickly. And it's like the more we grow, the less the darkness can grow. And we eventually completely take it over. And then the light becomes so much stronger. Like light that has overcome darkness is stronger light. And I think that that's what we're here to do, is to create this like even stronger light on earth than it ever was before. And so we are not subject to the authority of these other principalities that are ruling these planets, that are telling us about astrology, that are telling us to put our identity into our star sign. We are servants. We are representatives here on earth, and we have the ultimate authority given to God and given to us from God. So then the next thing on the list was beauty and wonderment. And I was like, how's that going to fit in? But I think what God was trying to say is that it's our job to bring beauty and wonderment to the world through God's light. So 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others so that they may be seen your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And then in the Lord's Prayer, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we are part of this journey. So how do we bring more beauty to earth? I think there's so many ways. Just a few ways are to just appreciate beauty. I think the gratitude piece of acknowledging God's creation is kind of the number one thing. So Exodus 31:3-5 says, and I filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, and cutting stones for setting, and carving wood, to work in every craft. Like, we are meant to just create beautiful things. And I think that that's really awesome. We're also, another way that we're bringing beauty and wonderment to the earth is to serve others, to foster community. God loves that. To care for creation. Genesis 2:15 said, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So we were originally meant to keep this earth before the fall. The earth was good. Everything was good. God's creation was good. Humans were good before the fall. And we were just meant to keep it beautiful. And then the fall happened. Humans essentially became sinners. Darkness came down to earth. It was already on earth, but darkness kind of, I don't want to say overpowered because it doesn't overpower. Anyway, had bigger presence on earth, and we weren't keeping the beauty. We weren't tending to the garden. So we need to celebrate life. We need to have gratitude. We need to reflect God's love. We need to just pursue peace and beauty and all beautiful things. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So just praising God, giving the glory to God, thanking him for all of the beauty, and continuing to pursue that beauty and that peace. It's like, it's kind of that easy. Like, we really just need to like let God love us, love him, appreciate all the beautiful things we have, be good to people, create community, bring more. Like, you know, it's like, what if it, like, can we just let it be that simple, you guys? Okay. So the next concept is wild, that I've been thinking about it for a while. I've been watching The Chosen, and I kind of just am loving right now just the whole concept of story of John the Baptist and how he paved the way for Jesus. And I'm thinking, like, maybe the New Age is paving the way. So in the Old Testament, there's like a bunch of rituals and festivals that had this pagan influence that Jews were doing, and they were doing it to serve God. So when Jesus came, he kind of showed them in a different light. Like, he didn't say, like, you're outright, like, these are bad, you're wrong. But he shows them that a relationship with God is what it's actually about. You don't need to, like, kill an unblemished lamb. So in the New Age, like, I'm thinking, like, they're talking to God, you know, but they're calling it the universe. It's almost like they're trying to connect to God. They're not trying to be bad. It's like they're trying to connect to God, but they're doing it wrong. Like, they're not going about it the right way. And so I'm like, I wonder if God can see that and appreciate that, and if he's, like, using that in a way to pave the way and prime people to be believers. And then God finds them and tells them the truth. It's like these watchers came, and the reason God let them do it, let them teach astrology and sorcery and all these things, is because it was ultimately a way for when God comes back to have these people primed and ready to believe in him. Because if you've been, you know, playing around with crystals and whatever, talking to the universe, it's a little easier to believe the supernatural powers of God. It's easier to believe in angels. It's easier to believe in demons, because it's like there's similarities between the two. So another interesting thing is that John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. He made people want to, like, clean up their spiritual act. Basically, he's like, the Messiah is coming. Clean up your act. Repent. Like, and then he really left this kind of, like, fertile ground for Jesus to plant his seed. And there's a parable, a very famous parable, about seeds falling on fertile ground. So the New Age is, like, making people crave something deeper than just, you know, manifesting material things that they do in the New Age. So it's like people are primed now. They did all that, and now they want something deeper. Isn't that wild? It blows my mind, you guys. Like, this is something that really blows my mind when I really think about it. I just think it's all part of the plan. So when Jesus came down, he had showed people, like, these pagan rituals, these festivals, like, they're no longer needed. But, like, maybe those things paved the way too. So Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Jesus saw these rituals and festivals as, like, important, but he believed that it's fulfilled. So, like, his sacrifice was the ultimate fulfillment, and you don't need to kill the lambs anymore. Like, he was the slaughtered lamb. That was the last sacrifice that needed to be made. So none of these, like, other traditions were needed anymore. We're good. And then that's what the resurrection did. And then the focus had to shift to just having a relationship with him. And that is the true way to be righteous, and kind of, like, the new understanding of worship. John 4:23-24 says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." So it's like, okay, you're worshiping him, but you got to do it right now, and you got to do it the right way. And so I just think that's what's happening. We can just see the parallels of the spiritual timeline. Like, and that just tells me that the second coming is close, because Jesus and John the Baptist existed at the same time. Like, while Jesus was there was when John the Baptist was killed. Like, they were alive in the same time. So it's like, if New Age is a correlation to John the Baptist and this paving of the way, and the way is being paved, and we can agree with that, then that means that the second coming is coming. So make sure you repent. Again, John the Baptist, this is what he called people to do. He called them to repent, get baptized, be reborn, like get ready for the Messiah, live right because judgment is coming. And he was there to bear witness, okay? So he was there to say, I'm not God, but God is coming. And when he comes, he was, John the Baptist was the one to say, okay, that's who it is. And so I wonder, like, there is kind of some correlation in New Age there because I don't know, it's like, I feel like New Agers are seeing God and they have kind of built this, like New Age influencers have like built this trust in people, teach them about things like astrology and blah, 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 chakras. And so people trust them. And then they are like, okay, no, wait. like now maybe we get to bear witness. And I'm not trying to like be blasphemous and be like, I'm John the Baptist. Like, no. I'm just saying like I just think that being able to really profess with such trust is such a powerful thing from moving from New Age to Jesus. Like, I think that is so powerful. It's like we were doing it this way, we were doing it wrong, and now we've found the right thing. And I don't know, I just find that really wild. So the second coming, like, it says that there will still be a big divide. Like, it's not like God's coming back and everyone's going to be like, yay, like, you know, we believe. So we want to make sure that we're on the right side of things. That's why we want to do the repentance and, you know, make sure that we're following God's word and all those things. Revelations 3:15-16 says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one of those other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So basically, we need to be all in for when God gets here, which is kind of scary, but I trust it. I mean, okay, at the end of the day, we can see this is all just a part of like a huge plan that God has. It's like he's letting darkness take over. Like, hello, look at the world. Darkness has taken over. He's letting people live these false religions and for that to be a hot trend right now. I don't want to say religions, but like false beliefs, whatever, or like half truths. And we just need to trust the process. And that was one of the things on the list, was trusting the process. God's been showing me this so much in my dreams, even about my own life. Like, you know, my poor puppy tore his ACL and I've just been like praying for miracles and healing and all these things. And I had this dream last night that he was almost attacked by a dog, but because he couldn't like run, he was like, because Samson's recall when he sees another dog is not great. Samson wants to be friends with every dog. So if Samson's not on a leash and there is a dog on a leash, Samson will want to like run up to the dog, which is not great because what if that dog is mean? So in my dream, that was happening. And there was this guy being like, no, don't let your dog come to my dog. Like he'll bite him. Like he doesn't like other dogs. So I'm like calling Samson. He's not listening. But because Samson had a torn ACL, he was running so slow that we were able to like stop him from getting bitten from the dog. So it's like, even though we might have something slowing us down right now, it's ultimately to protect us. So if you're feeling impatient, allow time to pass, have faith, and know that your time will be redeemed. And I love that about Jesus so much, that he redeems us. And like, think of Sarah and Abraham. They wanted that baby so badly, but they didn't have the baby until Sarah was like an old lady. And he redeemed them by being like, okay, like you're going to have the most like royal godly bloodline. So whatever you're waiting for, when you get it, it's going to be worth the wait. And lately, sometimes, yeah, I've been thinking I'm crazy with all this, which was also on the list that he wanted me to talk about. But then there's days like this where all of these like random thoughts that I have that were messages from God all come together and create this powerful message to share with you guys. And I'm just like, how can this not be real? Because this is wild. Like, as I'm having these ideas and they're like piecing together, and like they don't seem like they're going to piece together because they're all just like random and sporadic. And then everything, including like my dreams and like random things that I've seen, everything is just working together to like give me this heightened consciousness and this bird's eye view of like what's going on. It's just all so complex, you guys. And I think, again, another thing from the list, seeing things in a different way is being a gift. And sometimes it can feel weird or it can feel isolating to think differently and to like see things in a different way, especially right now with like politics and everyone like picking sides, blah, blah, blah. Division is gonna continue. And we need to really hold our ground and stand firmly in our faith, because it's like we need to, again, like maybe this is priming us, maybe this division and having to stand in our integrity around that is priming us for when God comes back, and we need to really stand firm in believing in Him. So we just need to open our hearts to the messages of God, which is another thing on the list. Like, if you want to have these like revelations and these moments, like, where you're just like, holy S-H-I-T, like, I hear you so clearly, God, this all makes so much sense. Like, spend time with Him. You can only listen to Him when you're softening into grace and gentleness and rest and freedom. And for me, that's such a big one. If I like wake up and I have a million things to do and I don't make enough time for God, those are the days that I, you know, obviously I don't have messages come through, but when I can like just know that God loves me and that I have freedom, that He's going to redeem my time, like no matter what. Like, if I spend time with God, even though I have a million things to do, He's going to redeem that time and like make up for that time for me. And that's when the messages come through. Like, that's the only sacrifice He wants. He does not want us to kill an unblemished lamb anymore. Like, He wants the sacrifice to be a time sacrifice, to give Him our time, to give Him our love, to give Him our attention, to give other people our time and love and attention. Again, everything working out as a plan. Imagine that the podcast that I was supposed to release was released on time and I didn't allow for this to happen. Like, you know, no, it's just like so crazy to me. And then the last point was God wants us to have joy and to see the wonderful nature of Himself and His creation and the path that we're on. What was I going to say there? Oh, yeah. Okay. So I was listening to Girls Gone Bible today, actually. And this was actually after I wrote the script for this podcast or the outline for this podcast. And I love what they were saying about their most recent episode was on joy. The episode before that was on backsliding. And I just had like 12 minutes left of that episode that I hadn't listened to from last week. And so I was listening to that. And she was saying that all God wants is for us to love Him. Like, He doesn't, it's not by our works. He wants us to believe in Him and love Him and love other people. And we make it so hard. And it does not have to be so hard. He doesn't want us doing, we don't have to do all these pagan rituals and festivals and all these things. We literally just need to repent, live His will, talk to Him, spend time with Him, and allow Him to love us. Like, and when we allow Him to love us, that allows us to love Him even more, because we have these amazing moments of connection and revelation and glory and bliss and beauty and joy and wonderment. And what more could we ask for, you guys? What more could we want? So I just personally think this entire podcast was a mic drop. I wish you guys could have just been in my brain to see like all of these things fitting together and being like, yes, like how did all of these things form a complete thought? All glory to God. This was all from Him. It ain't me. It's Him. And I'm so grateful to even just have this platform. Listen, we're small and mighty, but God is redeeming us. God is redeeming us. We're going to reach more people. It's not even that. I believe that whoever's listening to this, this is for you. Maybe we're not meant to reach millions of people right now. And that's okay, because it's not about me. I don't really care. I'm just happy that the people listening and that are getting inspired and that are having their own, not even revelation. Yeah, revelation, having revelation, but also just maybe being inspired to spend more time with God so that they can have their own kind of revelation and conversation and deepen their relationship with Him, that then this is for you. God put you listening to, as you listening to this podcast, you know, and that's why I'm doing this. It's for you. And I don't care if there were only three people listening to this, there's more, don't worry. But that would be worth it alone for me personally. So on that note, share it with a friend, comment, rate us 5 stars, joking, but not, but yeah, I just love doing this. Anyways, I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to all of this. I hope it was, I don't know, wild for you as it was for me. I'm glad I did this today and that the other one didn't work, even though at the time it was really stressful. Anyways, I love you guys. Reach out to me on Instagram if you have any questions. Let me know, like, if there are there any other like episode types that you want to hear. And also, if you have not downloaded my little morning prayer, it'll be in the show notes. You can have like a little prayer audio. And yeah, we will catch you guys next week. Bye.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.